Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam alongside Kyle. And today, we are jumping into a very common debate within coaches, within the athletic community. What comes first, Kyle? Does winning produce the culture, or does the culture produce the winning? You know, and honestly, it's one that gets brought up from time to time. It's a conversation I've had many, many times. It's one that, you know, a lot of coaches will bring up, especially in our world, as we are talking leadership, character, culture through so much of what we do, obviously. You know, there's still a lot of people that will look at what we do and just say, well, yeah, I'm sure it does add value. I'm sure it does help. You know, it is important to obviously develop leaders. But, you know, frankly, if we can just win, all that will take care of itself.
Right.
And it really does open this question. Well, like, okay, fair point. If you think you win, it can help it. But like, what's going to help you win? Or do you need the winning to then drive the leadership and culture? And like, how do those two play off one another? Essentially, which one comes first? Is there even a one is preceding the other? Let's spend some time talking about this. And coaches, as you lean into this, I think this discussion will probably stimulate for you to look at it even greater. And, you know, it may change future conversations that you have with other coaches when this does get brought up. But Kyle, I'm just going to cut right to the chase and turn it over to you. Where do you stand on this conversation about what comes first? Is it the leadership character driving the winning? Or is the winning that will drive the leadership and culture within the program?
Well, I'm always going to go first with the leadership and the character as the driving force for winning, because one, you have to first look at what are you defining winning as? And there's multiple ways that you can define that. But if it's all encompassing with the scoreboard and what it looks like and feels like to be a part of a program, then certainly character and leadership has to be a part of that. Now, that being said, you can win with not so great of a culture or not so strong of a leadership. Certainly, especially as we get on basketball season, yeah, there might be a couple dudes that can take over a game and can allow a team to win a game. And maybe the culture's not that great or the character's lacking, leadership's lacking, but that winning is not going to be sustained. So for me, I'm always going to put leadership and character first, because that's going to allow the winning that may take place to continue to take place and even get to a higher level.
Couldn't have said any better. It's an interesting discussion. One, although it's been brought up many times and it's a conversation we've had, you know, just in our interactions with coaches, I think it's a relatively pointless conversation to a large degree. Which may be ironic because we're recording on this, right? But maybe part of the reason we're recording on this is to almost kind of land in that place. For me, which one needs to come first is the leadership and character and its impact on the culture. Because that is the first place you are given an opportunity to start making the change.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can't control the winning until the games come. Right. So like right. that, that you can't even get to the place where that's going to drive it until you even get to that place in the season. But there's still so much work that happens before that, preceding those games, preceding where even winning could even determine the culture. You know, if you look at football, you know, let's just take football, for example. I mean, if you were to say, okay, this season, right, and look at every season in a silo, we're not going to carry over from last year, but each season, I mean, you're essentially talking, you know, yes, Friday Night Lights may start in September, maybe August, depending on the state. But these high school football programs, they're starting in January. Right? Their off-season training starts in January.
Right.
Yeah. They get like a month, right? They get like a month after the season to kind of chill. And then they're right back at it. They're in the weight room. Yeah. They're in the weight room. They're engaging in 7-on-7 in the spring, right? They're doing outdoor conditioning. They're going through summer doing conditioning. Some states you get a couple times to be together as a team. You're starting, you know, in Maryland, you know, early part of August, you start your season in September. If you were to say, well, winning's going to drive my culture. Winning will produce the culture that our program needs. If that's where you think winning takes care of it all. So what are you going to do for the first 8 months? For the first 8 months, because you don't even get to register a win. So it has to be the leadership character in the culture that comes from the leadership and character that has to be established first. And Kyle, I think you bring up a great point. There can be moments where you just have a very talented team that even in a mediocre culture, you start winning some games. And then all of a sudden you see this uptick in the leadership character and culture. People are more engaged now. They're more committed.
Right.
They're more excited. Absolutely. The problem is, it's what TJ Rosine would always say. My, our friend with PGC Basketball, I used to co-host there with the Hardwood Hustle for years. I don't want people I can win with. Let me rephrase that. He doesn't want people he can win with. But what he's really focused on, I need to make sure I have somebody I can also lose with.
Right. That's
because, we will not have undefeated seasons. Everything will not go perfect. So in those moments where we are losing or we experience the loss, right? Like it's going to be the character and culture that allows us to sustain and keep moving. To your point, you don't have that going. The moment the winning or the good run runs dry, you're done. Yeah. You drop back to such a level where you now have to recover significantly. So I think it's almost like deceiving of sorts when you build your culture on the wins, or if the wins are your driver of your culture, it's like lipstick on a pig. It may look good and feel good in the moment, but it's not that good.
It's fleeting. Yeah. I mean, when you do encounter the adversity, because like you said, you're not going to have a perfect season. You are going to lose. So if winning's driving the culture and the character, then what happens when you do run into a couple losses? How do you respond to that adversity? So that's where you have to put the leadership and the character before the winning, because that is the main ingredients for that success. And if you leave that to chance, you're often going to be left with something that you're going to feel pretty empty at the end of the season. And I think that's when you define ultimately what winning is like when you get to the end of your season, wherever that is, how do people walk away from it? How do they feel about it? Are they fulfilled? Did they have joy? Do they feel like they got better? Do they feel like they were connected to their team? That can be winning, because sometimes, you know, we're especially looking at the high school level, or maybe it's for some of our youth coaches, is you just might be outmatched talent-wise. And that might be the hand that you're dealt. But that doesn't mean that you weren't winning if you have a strong culture, if you have people that are leading, and you have people and you have kids that are getting better, that enjoy the game, that are still committed. I think that is winning. And then ultimately, the winning on the scoreboard is going to follow that.
I look at it like this, Kyle. When you become committed to the character leadership development, which then in turn drives culture, Okay. So how our players show up, their character, how they engage in their behavior, their leadership, that will begin shaping and fueling the culture. When you begin to shape and fuel the culture, then nothing guarantees winning in sports. You just got to do everything you can to increase the chances. That will begin to increase the chances of you winning, reaching your full potential. But here's where the real power comes into play. It's when you put winning on top of the strong culture.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, it boosts you to levels that you never could have reached had you just focused on winning. And when I say just focus on winning, it's not that those coaches that say that, well, winning cures all or winning will fix it, right? It's not that they disregard culture. I'm not trying to pretend like, you know, they completely like just let everyone just do their thing and there's no,
right.
Know,
yeah, they're doing something.
Culture. It's more about the depth of their intentionality within their culture. How intentional are they trying to develop the culture? Or are they someone that's just kind of doing all the things and just hoping, assuming that just us going through the motions of the season and going through the practices and the workouts and the little 2-minute little blurbs at the end of practice, a rah-rah, all those little things and the just your normal stuff that's just going to generate where culture is going to take you, right? Nothing above and beyond. But when you do turn that dial up of focus there and then you add winning, oh my gosh, it becomes incredible. And that's where I think a lot of those individuals that, you know, I've said this many times, Kyle, you've heard me talk about this. Like one of the things I wish all coaches could do is really get deep insight into the culture of high performing teams.
Right.
I really do. It's why you always hear when coaches take a sabbatical, right? When they've got this like contract or this year where they're in between, you know, and, you know, at the college level or the pro level, and they're still getting paid from their old team that cut them and they don't feel this rush to get back in. You always hear about these coaches. They spend a whole year traveling around, visiting with other programs, seeing what other cultures look like, seeing how other coaches do things. And it's one of the greatest tools for them for development because they get to see what it looks like and feels like in these other organizations and these other programs. And more often than not, they then naturally will take what they have created in their mind, their experience, and they begin mirroring and judging it on what they're seeing in front of them.
Yeah.
And it's just a natural tendency. Oh yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. We used to do that. Oh wow. My players never did that. Oh wow. That actually, I like that. Oh, I like how your players respond there. Wow. That's really good there. Right. And before you know it, you shine your culture on maybe a high performing culture and what you thought was once really strong. All of a sudden you begin to look at it and be like, we've got so far to go. Kirby Smart was one of the individuals who talked a lot about this. He spent 1 year, he went up to North Dakota State. And North Dakota State on, you know, profile status, they aren't at Georgia. You know, they're not an SEC team. But when it comes to success,
they're
when
good.
It comes to reaching their potential, they're elite.
Oh, yeah.
They are elite. Elite, what'd you say?
They're always at the top of Division II. They're the, one of the best programs in the country.
Oh my gosh. And if you grade yourself simply on just like, hey, take these group of players and get the absolute most out of them, right? Have like reached your fullest potential with what you have. If that's the grading scale, just because you play in the SEC doesn't mean you accomplished that, right? Just because you play in the Big Ten doesn't mean you successfully got the most out of every player in your program. North Dakota State, year in and year out, does that. And Kirby Smart went over there and he said it absolutely changed his mindset and outlook. He realized like, wow, my players don't show up like that. My players don't celebrate their teammates like that. My players don't have the energy and enthusiasm like that. They don't communicate like that. Holy smokes. So for me, I wish coaches could do that because I think that would change how they approach this conversation. I think they'd see how some programs operate and it would become so glaring to them that holy smokes, if we don't level up right now, we're not going to win at the level we need to. This needs to be our focus. We are falling behind. We are trailing what others are doing. I think it would change the entire conversation for them about this topic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a couple of things there is when you're bringing up those examples, which are great. I think of two of the older football coaches, but Pete Carroll and then Dick Vermeil, like you mentioned, where when you go back and you study like the first part of their careers, maybe it wasn't so much of a focus on the culture, the character, the leadership. But when they got to the second half of their careers, you see the success they had. Vermeil, St. Louis, then Kansas City. You look at Pete Carroll with USC and then Seattle. And the players talk about like the culture that was established in those organizations and how it infected everybody. And that's another thing about this topic is like, this is not something that's just for the players. It's for the assistant coaches. It's for the managers, the statisticians. It's for everyone that's involved in it. Maybe it's your scorekeepers, your stat keepers, all of those people, right, to feel a part of it. The other part there, when you were talking, made me think of this Haitian proverb that I saw Alex Hormozi share the other day in one of his stories. And the proverb is, beyond every mountain, there's another mountain. So let's say you have a team that wins this year and boatload of talent. Maybe it's upperclassmen heavy, senior heavy. Well, what happens next year when you didn't pour into the underclassmen? If you didn't have something to develop the culture for them, to develop their leadership, because there's another mountain that's coming. You might have scaled that first one. You might have got past that first one, but there's another one that's coming. And that's the thing where you can't afford not to spend time on the culture, the character, and the leadership, because you're always going to have that next challenge coming for you as long as you're involved in athletics. As long as you choose to be a part of it, you can't escape that. That's a part of the game that's always been there. It always will be there. And if you're not preparing your team for that, then, like you said, you're kind of starting in the hole at that next season.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Communicate praise in public and critique in private. When praising someone on your team, it is oftentimes best to do that in the presence of others and acknowledge specifically why you are praising the person beyond simply a good job. But when feedback needs to take place, always do that in a private setting. Communicating frustration or criticism in front of others is a quick way to alienate the person you're trying to help. Now let's jump back into the episode.
Man, you just brought up some great points, man. You really did. And, you know, I think that's an interesting one, because if winning is going to be your driving force of culture, then what do you gain after a season as you move into the next season?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, did you actually grow and develop, or were you just dependent on the winning? Mm-hmm. And because then at that point, yeah, what are we building for the future years? I think that's an interesting one. It's also interesting you brought up Pete Carroll and Dick Vermeil. You know, you always hear coaches, veteran coaches, they always seem to talk about how there's been major shifts in the priorities of their coaching from the beginning towards right. later in their career. You always hear about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it always goes back to that as they grew and mature and years went by, there was always, and I'm actually almost going to go on record to say always. I don't think I actually know a coach that is opposite of what I'm about to say. That as they went on longer in their coaching, I believe every coach begins to go deeper into this realization that it's about the people, that it's about the leadership, character, and culture. And they've got to spend more time on that. And you hear every veteran coach talk about that kind of begins to become more and more of a focus and priority for them, as opposed to early in their coaching career, where they maybe were more X's and O's focused and right. hours on the field, hours on the court focus, right? You always hear coaches talk about practices getting shorter as the years go. You know, there's all yeah. these themes, but The biggest one is that the people, character, leadership, and culture always becomes more prevalent. Now, do you think as coaches get older, they are choosing to lean into things that aren't helping? Or do you think they're getting wiser as they get older? Like if they're leaning into these things, I have to imagine it's because they are learning. They have learned over the years.
Yeah.
They have gained wisdom over the years. They have seen and identified what works. So the fact is that they're leaning into character, culture, and leadership. It's because they learned that it needs to be the priority. That is going to be the thing that is focused on first before everything else. They always get to that point, and success leaves clues. And if these veteran coaches eventually get to that place, let's pay attention to their clues. They're basically screaming, hey, put character, leadership, and culture above and ahead of winning and let it lead winning. It's what I've learned over my first couple decades of coaching, is essentially what they've said time and time again.
Yeah. And I'll throw out another old school coach, but probably one of the greatest of all time, where that's drawn a lot of influence when it comes to the culture and the people building, is John Wooden. When he went to UCLA, it took him 16 years before he won his first national championship. You can't look at those 16 years prior to that and look at those as failures, because what he was doing to build that culture of winning. Now, sometimes it doesn't take that long, but I think you're right. When you look at most coaches, as they get a little bit older, they lean more into that side of the game because they know deep down it's where they find the most fulfillment and the most joy. And there are some coaches that I'm sure would go on record to say that they might have had a very successful season on the field, and maybe it led to a conference or a district championship or a deep state playoff run, but it was miserable for them because the character and the culture wasn't strong. And it was putting out fires left and right, and just every day was a challenge. Yeah, they might have won, but it didn't feel like winning.
But I wouldn't even just say it's joy and fulfillment. I think there's even on top of that, because those are there, right? I think even on top of that, I think it really is them coming to a landing place that it's the key to victory. It's the key to winning. I think they look back on their experience of success and they do find the joy and fulfillment came alongside those teams with great leadership, character, and culture. But I also think they look back and say, what was it? You know, because you always get asked that question. Hey, what was it about that team? You know, hey, what was it about that year? And I think coaches land in this place. Oh, man, I just had great kids. Mm-hmm. Man, I just had, man, the kids that year. And all, and then they just jump into this character description of the kids. Oh, they just were so committed, so hungry, so focused. Right? So selfless for one another that they begin learning from their own clues as they study themselves.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, yeah. I mean, cause like I'm thinking about a coach right now that I'll give a shout out to Coach Kelly, Quince Orchard football, right? You know, coach has absolutely elevated. Coach Kelly, Quince Orchard football, for those that are not in Maryland, high profile high school football program here in Maryland. They've won two out of the last four state championships, multi-time state championship, currently undefeated at the time of this recording. I'll be over there this evening actually to watch their game. Excited to kind of go over there. And, you know, coach will be the first to tell you, I'd say over the last 7 years or so, man, he's definitely dialed up his focus on leadership, character, and culture. Dialed it up without a doubt. Right. And we've had so many conversations. And I think as he has done that, he's almost going through that trajectory that we just described, right? Young coach, X's and O's, right? Hitting the sled, just all the things football related, you know. And now all of a sudden, man, he's committing so many hours a year to get his kids invested. And we've talked about the years that, you know, they haven't won and versus the years they've won. And you start evaluating all those years. And I'm going to tell you, the conversations always land into the character leadership of the boys and the culture that was generated in those years. Literally, that is the year. We can go through the years, look at it year by year, and it becomes the denominator, right? The core of the conversation, like, well, what was so different? And he has teams that frankly were more talented, but didn't get that right. Mm-hmm. And they underachieved. And he has teams over, because I forget how many he's won. I think he's won like three in the last, he's either won three or four. I know I've been with him for two. I can't recall exactly. He's won three or four.
Right.
And, you know, let's say it's three or four out of eight. Okay. I'm going to tell you, and he will tell you too, some of the 4 years that they didn't win, they had more talented rosters. They had more talented rosters. And then some of the teams they won, they had a less talented roster. And then all of a sudden you'd be like, okay, coach, what's the difference? He can't deny the fact that.
Yeah.
Leadership, character, and culture. Like, he can't deny it. And I think that's where most coaches get to as they mature and continue going through their years of coaching. They just land in this place and they're just like, you know what? I'm spending so much time on this when, man, I really think so much of it's just going to come down to the people.
How many times you and I've both been at a lot of conferences and clinics, and how many times have you heard a veteran coach get up there, whether it's a collegiate or a professional coach? And one of the things that they'll say, it's not about the X's and the O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes. They'll always say that classic line, but that's what they're speaking to. Right. It's about the people, and they're the ones that when you really develop them, that you're maximizing that talent.
And I don't want to deny the fact that winning does help. Okay. Winning is needed without a doubt, without a doubt. I think even the strongest of cultures, if it is not at some point supported by winning, like, I don't think it can sustain. Okay. Like, there is a reality there about winning's role in the culture.
Sure. Yeah. And there's no doubt about that. You, there has to be a balance. You do have to work on that because, I mean, yeah, let's be honest. If that doesn't happen, then there's going to be a lot of frustration that sets in and a lot of questioning of what's going on. So it's we're saying completely scrap the fundamental work, the position work, the X's and the O's, any of that. No, just make sure, carve out some intentional time and you won't regret it.
I mean, I did lead them up 1 year with the team, not going to call out the team because frankly, it wasn't a year to remember. We didn't win a game. We went like 0-23. Mm-hmm. This was, I think the year before COVID, I believe. And, now the culture was really strong. And in the midst of the 0-23 season, they didn't lose anyone. No one quit. I think that's a win there, right? Like,
absolutely.
And they kept fighting. Like, even some of the last games, oh my gosh, like so close to victory. So close to victory. They couldn't pull it out. Listen, at some point, you gotta also have the players, you know, you need the talent and all that. Right. But I say that, like, when I talk about the relationship, winning and culture, we needed a win. The culture was like holding on, and I'm sitting there like week after week going through lead them up and stuff like that. And I'm just like in my head thinking, oh my gosh, please, can we win? I don't think we can hold on much longer. Yeah. Like, as strong as the culture was, like, we needed a win for our spirit, for our connectivity, for our buy-in to the process. We needed it.
For sure.
They didn't win it. They didn't win. Next year came back. They actually, you know, they stuck with it and, you know, had a relatively decent season. But even as strong as that culture was, the fact that everyone kept playing hard and no one quit, I was still begging for a win.
Oh, yeah.
Begging for a win. Like, this culture needs it. Like, I don't think we can sustain much longer, you know, without like any win. But once again, I think when looking at the two, it really is the leadership, character, driving the culture that is frankly the controllable out of the two equations. And when you think about controlling the controllables, right, which every coach talks about, that is it. Can we be intentional there to try to control that aspect? Knowing winning may come, may not come as a result, we don't know for a fact. And there's so much out of our control in that aspect, can we at least take advantage of the thing that is in our control, which is the leadership, character, and culture? Kyle, anything you want to add?
No, I think we did a great job kind of, you know, sharing our thoughts. I think, you know, there's a lot of coaches out here that are listening to us that would tend to agree with that. And I would just continue to encourage coaches that might be in that situation, you know, on both ends of the spectrum, whether or not you're winning. Let's say you're struggling to get wins, but, you know, you're developing people and you're developing relationships and you're helping them out. And that's ultimately the win. Now, on the other side of that, when you're winning, if you want to keep that going and keep that building, you gotta lean into it. And no matter where you fall in that, I don't think at the end of the day, you're going to regret spending time with your athletes on improving their character, leadership, and overall your culture. You're not going to regret it.
Appreciate you, Kyle. As always, I am Adam on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, friends. Until next time, we are out.